Good morning. How are we doing, folks? Isn't it a beautiful day? And we can't complain about not getting enough rain. So there's that whole blessing that we have there. And the grass has been growing really fast because between the combination of rain and warmth, it has been amazing productivity in the grass department. I had to mow my yard 3 times in 2 weeks. I'm sure it's not uncommon out there. But you know what? God has blessed us in so many ways as we gather together today. And today we're going to continue in our theme of prayer. And we're going to be talking about how to pray for ourselves exactly. And it's funny. At first I thought, well, this is going to be a really short sermon. But it got longer. Go figure. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, all right, very good. Well, blessings, folks. Let us begin our worship service, remembering the God who loves us and blesses us and gives us all good gifts, the God who met us in our baptism and made us his own, connected us to him through this incredible relationship of faith and grace. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand. Oh Lord, I thank you that you call us to be your own. I thank you that you call us to come together as a community to worship you. I pray that you help us this day to listen to your words. Help us to be mindful of the needs of others and to support each other. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
He died for me. everything to God in prayer.
Morning. My name is Kevin Chegg. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first reading is from Psalm chapter 86, verses 1 through 7. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me. Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, and for I trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today is from the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all that I have. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message.
All right, kids, come on forward. All right, here's the thing. I remember being little. You know what I'm saying? Now, was it a long time ago? Not that long. Okay, it was a long time ago. All right, but the thing is I remember being little. I remember being short. I remember when I would walk in the kitchen and the cabinets were like right up here and that I couldn't even see what was on top of them all the time. I remember. But now, am I short anymore? No, I'm tall. And in fact, I'm taller than everybody else here. You know why? Because I'm standing up here. And the thing is, though, is that I really want to be taller. I want to look down on everybody. I am so amazing. I want to be taller. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to step up here. Now, isn't that amazing? Aren't I taller than I was before? Isn't this great? I am so stellar. And let me show you how amazing I am. I'm going to get even taller. Here I go. Am I taller now? Yeah. Aren't I the tallest ever? But I'm not done. Watch this. Now I'm even taller. Am I not amazing? Yeah. Am I really amazing? I mean, did I actually accomplish anything? Am I just pretending to be taller? Yeah, like, this isn't real. I don't know what this would be, 8 feet tall or whatever it would be. I'm not that tall. I'm just kind of being silly, aren't I? All right, well, here's the thing. In the text for today, did you guys listen to the reading today? There was two guys, and both of them went out to pray, right? And the first one said, God, thank you for making me so amazing. Thank you that I'm not a bad person like all these other people, and especially like this tax collector who's praying next to me. Thank you that I am astounding. Now, here's the thing. Who is he talking to? God. Do you think God was listening? Yeah. What could God do with that prayer? I mean, if all he does is talk about himself and how awesome he is he asking God for anything? No. Nothing. Well, that's interesting. And what did the other guy say? Were you paying attention? What did he say? His prayer was a lot shorter. Instead of talking about himself at length and saying how great I am, you know what he did is he came up and he said, listen, God, forgive me. Because I'm a sinner. Now, is that a short prayer? Yeah. So because it's a short prayer, God couldn't do anything with it, right? Yeah. Except, wait a minute, what did he pray for? Forgiveness. Does God love to hear prayers for forgiveness?
Yes.
What does God say every time we come to him and say, Lord, please forgive me? What does he say?
Yeah.
He says, I forgive you. Every single time. And what God is telling us in this verse is this. He wants us not to talk about ourselves and how wonderful we are when we pray. He doesn't want our prayers to be all about ourselves. He wants our prayers to be about him and asking him for the help that we need. Is anybody here need help from God sometimes? Yeah, I think that's pretty much everybody, right? All of us need help from God sometimes. Does God always want to hear our prayers for help? Especially prayers for forgiveness? Yep, he sure does. Can we pray to God right now? All right, repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for dying so we can be forgiven. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We love you, Jesus. Amen. All right, kids, it is now time for a little worship. If you guys want to meet the cross in the center aisle with your parents' permission, we always have to say that. Go ahead and meet at the cross in the center aisle, and you guys are going to get taught, and the rest of us are going to be in here after I put away my props. All right. Today we are on sermon number 3 of our sermon series on prayer. And the sermon today is on praying for yourself. Now, there's several things we do wrong when we're trying to pray for ourselves, one of which is not praying. And I'm not exactly sure what the point of that is, what's the logic behind it, why we would take the invitation from the creator of the universe who loves us and wants to hear from us, and he is the giver of all good things, and we desperately need him and depend on him on a daily basis, and he lovingly invites us to speak with him and to talk to him and commune with him and share with him and receive from him, and we say, I'm just too busy. You know, it seems like an odd move. I think some of it is that we don't really take seriously how incredibly in need we are. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think if we actually took a moment to meditate upon the reality of our situation with God, of how we are the one who needs and he is the one who gives. You know, we need physical support, emotional support, spiritual support. We need forgiveness of sins. We need strength to live a Christian life. We need wisdom to know how to address this world. We need strength because there's people who depend on us, right? Because when God brings us into his family, he also gives us work to do. You know, he makes us spouses and parents and children who have parents. And he gives us so many jobs to do. He gives us work in the world, you know, that we work with coworkers, and sometimes that we can even be in a place of authority at work. And what we realize is the more we look at all of the different jobs God's given us to do, that people depend on us. And if we break, if we fail, we let other people down. So with all of that in mind, how important is it for us to pray for ourselves, that we would be strong, that we would be faithful, that we would be wise, that we would have everything that we need so that we can properly and responsibly and worshipfully live out the life that God has given us because of our relationship to Jesus? I mean, there's a lot to pray for, right? And we can all acknowledge the intense need that we have for that prayer. So there's that. But here's the next question. What do we pray? And at first, this seems like a really easy thing, right? I mean, you just pray whatever you're worrying about, right? You just pray things. You know, it's like, well, I don't know what we're having for dinner. I'm sure my wife has a plan, but I'll pray that God is going to provide me dinner because that would be very good and I would like that, right? And I'm going to pray that God would give me words to speak through the rest of this sermon because, you know, it would be kind of embarrassing if I suddenly stopped, and probably less helpful for you. So, I mean, there's things that we can pray for in the moment all throughout our day, things that we know we need, but it gets more complicated because here's the thing. That's what the proud guy in the sermon was doing, right? He prayed what was in his head, and it didn't work out so good for him. The prayer wasn't everything it could have been. I mean, what was in his head is, I am really great. I got no problems in life. I'm just going to brag about how things are going. And we've never had prayers like that. We've never had prayers that, I mean, we wouldn't be that, how can I say, crass in our self a description, right? We wouldn't be that way. But do we often pray things that are not necessarily in keeping with God's will? I mean, children do, right? Who here prayed that God would help you get an A on a test that you did not study for? Is that God's plan? Is this his desire for us as his people? Now, is it bad to pray to God even those kinds of things? I mean, God, does God want to hear from you even if you're completely off base? Yeah, any prayer is better than no prayer, right? I mean, and this gets more serious as we go into life, right? Where we get to points in life when we don't know how to pray. And it is especially true as we get into more and more difficult times, like when a loved one is sick, you know, seriously sick. And we pray that God would bring healing, and the person dies. And God says, even in this moment, I want you to pray. But I'm mad. I'm disappointed. I prayed to God and I asked for help and I didn't get it. And it's in something that's not minor, it's something that's big. This is a really big deal. And I'm shaken and I don't know what to do and I don't know what to pray. If I pray to God, I might be angry at God. Maybe it's better if I don't pray at all. Here's the thing. Can God handle your anger? Does God want to hear from you? No matter what you're feeling and what you're doing and where you are in your struggles right now. While God wants to hear from you, is it better if we pray in keeping with his will? If we, in our prayers, agree with God, is it not better? So how do we do that? We do what Christians have done for thousands of years now. We pray, your will be done. You understand? I mean, because the thing is that we understand that our will, our understanding, our knowledge is always going to be incomplete. That God sometimes puts us in situations that we don't understand that are very, very, very hard, but are hard with a purpose. I remember the song, we sing it here occasionally. It's called Blessings by Laura Story. Remember this song? You know? And it talks about we pray for peace, for mercy, for ease. We pray that everything would work out nicely. We pray for all of these things, but what do we get often? We get adversity, we get difficulty, we get struggle. Let's talk about marriage for a second. We pray that we would have very healthy relationships with our spouse, right? That we wouldn't fight, that we would work together, that we would be a really good team, and that we would just not have to deal with all of the struggle that goes along with normal human relationships. And that's what we always get, right? No, not at all. What we get is another person with their own mind and their own ideas, and now there's going to be a struggle. How will we get along? How will I love my wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her? Right? How will I carry out the work that God has given me in the role of being a husband? How will I do this? Or will I just pray that God takes away all the struggle? I mean, that'd be the easy way, right? But what God's doing is he is teaching me what it means to love. He's teaching me what unconditional love looks like and the cost of unconditional love. He's teaching me what it means to unconditionally, without reservation, without thought or worry for myself, love another person just like he loves me. And in doing so, do I have a better appreciation for what God's unconditional love, his truly unconditional love, not my attempt at it, my weakness and my flawed effort toward this, but his perfect expression of unconditional love for me? Do I appreciate that more after having struggled to replicate that in a small way myself? Does it not build me into a closer relationship with this one who on whom I depend for all things? And doesn't it change my prayers? Once I start to understand what God is trying to do through the difficulties that go with the blessing of marriage, that I would, instead of praying that all the problems go away, that I would pray that God would give me the wisdom, the courage, the strength, and the tenacity to continue to love no matter what. And we don't even have to talk about what comes next, because children are so easy. You know, that unbelievable dependence and utter helplessness with which they start, and they need you for everything all the time, even at 1 a.m. Sometimes, especially at 1 a.m. And because it is so easy to be a parent, and it doesn't wear you down, and it doesn't make you exhausted, and it doesn't cause any trouble between you and your spouse, because that relationship is so perfect, nothing could assail it. You see what? We learn again how to love and how hard it is to love and what it means to pour myself out for the benefit of somebody else, sacrificially, without reservation, just giving myself to somebody else on a daily, constant, minute-by-minute basis. Even though I am so tired, I can hardly think straight. Right? And when I do this, does it not cause me to have a better understanding of exactly what it means that God is our Father? And that He never turns His back on us. He is always there for us any moment that we need Him. And He listens to us every time we come to Him. Just like we struggle to do with our own children when we just want them to go away. Right? And you understand? This is the thing, is that you start to understand God gives us these struggles. He gives us these struggles for a reason. He gives us these struggles not because He likes to torment us, but because He loves us and He has important things for us to learn. And so if we pray all of our problems away, are we praying in keeping with God's divine perfect will for your life? Or are we in our prayers fighting against the God who is trying to bless us with situations in which we will grow and learn? So how do we pray? Folks, we pray, "Your will be done." And what if we are sick? It is ourselves that are sick. And it's not looking good, and it looks like we may be at the end of our life, and that things are just looking really grim. And we pray that God would heal me. I want to live. I want to continue to serve my family and my community and my church. I don't want to die. I still have work to do. And God says, "Well, you tell me, what's His plan? Do you know? How do you know?" We don't. So how do we pray? "Your will be done." Guys, God's plan is perfect. My modifications to His plan will not make it better. You understand what perfect means? Perfect means that which cannot be improved, right? So isn't it better? Can I pray whatever is on my heart and mind? Can I ask for the things that I want? But I need to do it with an intense humility of understanding that He knows better and that He is doing what He is doing for the benefit of His people because He loves us. And sometimes the love that He gives, you know, the love that He commands from us for the people around us causes hardship. Sometimes it makes life hard. But he showed us how to handle that, didn't he? I mean, what was harder? What we're going through? Or his suffering and death for us? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you want a model for what love is, there is no place other to look than Christ. Who that when we were in need, when we were the difficult child that would not obey but demanded every blessing and had our own ideas of what those blessings should be, like ice cream for every meal, you know? I mean, kids do this, and so do we. You know, we want exactly what we want, and we have to understand. We have to remember his way is best. And that we always want to submit ourselves to him. We will pray, we will ask, we will speak whatever is in our hearts, but in the end, we submit ourselves to him. And there's one more thing I want to say about this. We need to be praying as we read scripture. Jesus promised that the Spirit would come and be our counselor, our teacher, our guide, that he would help us to understand the truths that we otherwise would not be able to understand. And so it is completely appropriate that before we read scripture, we would pray to God and we would ask for wisdom and knowledge and understanding as we read this book. And then is God faithful? Yeah. Will he help us? Yeah. Does that mean we'll understand everything? Not right away, probably not ever, right? But will we know more than we did before? Will we have a better understanding of what his plan is and how he sees the world than we did before? Will that inform our prayers and help us to pray in a way that is more in keeping with his word? And when we struggle in his word, when there's something in there that we don't understand, and we're like, why is God saying that? I hate that. I don't like those words. Those are not the words I want to hear right now. And you know what? Who you talk to? God. That when you wrestle in God's word, wrestle with him. Talk to him about it. Continue to work through it, meditate on it, think about it, try to understand it, read that verse or that passage over and over again until, I call this struggling with God demanding a blessing. It's kind of what Jacob did once, right? The idea is that God has got a blessing for me in this word. And I'm just going to be persistent and work and work and work and pray and keep my mind open and listen to him, talk to the people around me, read up on it, whatever I can do until I get something back. And when I do, I better understand God and his plan and his way of seeing the world? Will that inform my prayers and make me able to pray more in keeping with his will? Do I still have to pray, your will be done? Will I ever have the confidence of thinking I know it all and I've got it all figured out? If you do, Luther likes to say this occasionally, touch yourself. Make sure you're still alive. If you're alive, you don't know. All right? But come to God. He wants to hear from you. He wants to bless you. Don't worry that your prayers will somehow manipulate him. He loves you better than that. He's never given me my Mustang. He knew that wouldn't be a good thing for me. I prayed for it for years, but you understand, God loves us more than that. He is the giver of all good gifts. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you have brought us into this relationship with you because you died for us. You sacrificed yourself for us. You became the perfect sacrifice. You carried out your Father's will, bearing our sin so that we can live forever. Lord, I pray that you would help us to love as you have loved us, Help us, Lord. Give us wisdom. Give us strength. You know, Lord, what we need. I pray that you would give it to us. And help us, Lord. Help us always to come before you with all of our needs, our cares, our concerns, our wants, our thanksgiving, as our praises. To come to you because you invite us to. And you long to hear from us. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, and it is now time to continue our service by taking the offering. As the offering is taken, I do ask that you would record your attendance in the folders that you'll find near your seats, and let us give praise to our God.
Please stand as we profess our shared faith with the words of the third article, the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with the prayers of our people. We pray for Ellie Barker, that you give her peace with her upcoming cranial surgery that's happening tomorrow, and we pray that you would guide those who are doing the surgery and all those who are giving her care. Help her to come through the surgery and to recover well afterwards. Lord, we give thanks that the tumor is gone from Jim Biglin. We pray that the glio cells would not become active again and that you would continue to be with him and give him strength. Lord, we pray for Dustin, who is suffering from an infection. We just pray that those who are giving him care can help get that under control and that he can be restored to health. Lord, we thank and praise you for the many ways that you show us your love. Lord, we ask that you would teach us to pray, that you would shape us and mold us as we pray, trusting in you for your provision. Help us to let go of our own will and to seek your will above all else. And lastly, Lord, we give thanksgiving that all those who went to the National Youth Gathering have returned safely, and we pray that what they experienced would continue to shape their life for the rest of their life. All these things we pray in Jesus' holy, precious name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
Still, and from the fall. matchless day of my day.
Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to dismiss any children who are going to Sunday school. You can go ahead and meet our DC, Lauren Bates, there in the back. Just a quick reminder, we are continuing on with our prayer series. Next week will be the last one. We'll be talking about reflecting on how do we pray for other people to wrap it up. So I encourage you all to come back for that. But as well, I invite you to continue. Pastor Bob is continuing to teach a Bible study series on rest and Sabbath. And so in that vein, today is all about how we are created for Sabbath rest. And so if you know, you're wondering, well, what is that all about? Please stick around for Bible class and come listen to what Pastor Bob has prepared. Be a great time. Otherwise, invite you to pray that you have a blessed week. And I thank you so much for joining us this day. Try to keep cool still. God's blessings.